produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we look forward to this episode of our program with you. You know, this last weekend, we had a very full and busy time. We had the opportunity on Saturday to do a number of things. We started off with meeting with some of our members from our church, and we were able to be a part of a service team that we were able to help clean the church facility in preparation for our Sunday worship service and Sunday school classes. And that was a neat experience of fellowship and service. Afterwards, I did a little yard work, did some housework, cleaning up, because that afternoon we had our annual February-March Floyd family birthday celebration, where we gathered the family and celebrated six family members' birthdays all at one time. We have birthdays starting on February the 25th, or February the 28th, all the way to March 3rd, March 13th, March 23rd. There's another February one in there as well. And so consequently, it would be a little repetitive if we had a birthday party for every single person each and every time. So several years now, we've had a tradition of bringing everyone together and having a nice dinner birthday celebration and a lot of fun and fellowship and, of course, the food. So that was a full day on Saturday and a wonderful Sabbath day with worship service, Sunday school classes, and the like. So we are excited about this episode of Power Up Your Family. I'd like to talk about some key elements about raising a strong family and ways to be better parents. Raising a family is immensely rewarding, but it can also be hard, especially in today's world. You know, our kids may face more difficult decisions than we did in our younger years. But here I'd like to discuss five ways that we can strengthen and protect our family through difficult trials and challenges. Number one, let us be sure to teach good values. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It is our responsibility as parents to teach our children good values and principles. Teach them about God and how much he loves them. Teach them that honesty is the best policy. Teach them the golden rule to treat others as they want to be treated. Clearly defined values help direct a person's choices. As our children get older, they will face tough challenges. Teach them to hold true to God's standards regarding sex, drugs, finances, education, and so forth. You won't be able to cover every situation they may encounter. What you can do is teach them right and wrong. Explain that every choice, good or bad, has a consequence. Throughout your children's lives, make sure they know you will love them no matter what, and that you will listen carefully when they have questions. So communication is a very, very important part of helping your children. And listening is the key to communication. Number two, might I suggest that we hold a weekly family night. We used to in our faith call it family home evening. Latter-day Saints reserve one night a week for an evening at home. You might hear them refer to it as home evening or family home evening. On these nights, families spend time together, learn the gospel, eat treats, and have fun. Home evening can be tailored to your children no matter how old they are. Young children may enjoy singing, watching a short, uplifting video, or acting out Bible stories for family members to guess. Older children may prefer a more formal lesson, and then a family activity such as volleyball or bowling or hiking. So what is a home evening and how do you go about doing that? Well, home evening is a time to enjoy each other and have fun together. We do this by learning about Jesus Christ together, by listening to each other's feelings, thoughts, and ideas, and by enjoying activities together. Home evening should be for everyone. Recently married couples, fathers and mothers with children, single parents with children, couples who have no children at home, single adults in home evening groups, and those who live alone or with roommates can all be blessed by holding family home evening. So how do you go about holding a home evening? Well, I suggest some of these items below here. Start and end with prayer. This invites the Holy Spirit, increases feelings of love, and teaches young children how to pray. Learn from the scriptures and the words of modern prophets to help each other live the gospel. Sing songs and hymns to create an atmosphere of love, peace, and joy. Make it fun by playing games, acting out scripture stories, and making treats. Keep the atmosphere light and loving. Be consistent. Find what day and time works best for your family or home evening group and make it a priority. And lastly, add variety. For example, help a neighbor in need, hold a lesson in the park, or go for a walk. These are just a few ideas on how to hold a family home evening. Keys to raising a strong family, item number 3. Pray together as a family. As the old saying goes, a family that prays together stays together. God blesses families who pray together, giving them increased peace, love, and harmony in the home. Family prayer is also a great way to help younger children develop the habit of praying on their own. Sometimes busy schedules can make it difficult to pray as a family, but it's worth the effort. Try choosing a time when you are normally together, such as mealtime or right before bedtime. Number 4, go to church together. Families benefit both from the spiritual and social aspects of church attendance. At church, your children will learn about Jesus' teachings and how to apply them in their lives. They can also make friends who have similar beliefs and who can be a good influence when they face peer pressure and other difficult decisions. I might personally mention that I believe that the peer group influence for our children is perhaps one of the most significant influences that they will have in their growing up years. So making sure they have an environment where their peers have similar values is very, very important. Principles learned at church help reinforce the values taught at home, such as honesty and kindness. It's a time commitment God blesses us when we can attend and when we do attend. Number 5, the fifth key to raising a strong family. Read God's Word. As you read the scriptures as a family, you will invite God's Spirit to be in your home. The Holy Bible, and for Latter-day Saints as well, the Book of Mormon testify of Jesus Christ and teach valuable lessons about faith and overcoming challenges. Though the stories happened long ago, they are still relevant today. Help your children understand they can find courage, inspiration, and guidance in the scriptures. God will bless your family when you read together. Now, critical to all of this is how we as parents do our job. So in the spirit of keys, let me suggest five keys or five ways to be a better parent. As we know, parents are responsible to teach, nurture, and love their children. Scriptures actually teach us how we can do that. Number one, communicate openly. Establish open, loving communication with your children. Try to follow the example of your Heavenly Father, who always welcomes his children's thoughts, worries, concerns, and gratitude. Listen carefully to what your children have to say and offer thoughtful feedback. Eliminate distractions while your children are talking to you. Ask your children how they are feeling and try to establish an open conversation where they feel free to talk about their thoughts and opinions. Children need to feel safe, bringing up both everyday issues as well as topics that are difficult to talk about, such as dating, pornography, alcohol, sex, money, and so on. Going back to that aspect about eliminating distractions, just as much as we want our children to put down their phones or their electronic devices when we're talking to them, consider that they would appreciate our undivided attention as well. So it's important that we put down our electronic devices while talking with our children. Number two, invite the Spirit into your home. Parents have a responsibility to care for the spiritual learning of their children. Read a few verses of scripture every night together. Talk about what you learned from the scriptures. Ask your children what they think. Studying the scriptures as a family can help them know how to seek and receive guidance on their own. Prayer will help your children build faith. Recognize the influence of the Holy Spirit and know that they can always turn to God for help, comfort, and strength. Pray regularly as a family and encourage your children to pray on their own as well. Number three, teach your children to make good choices. The Bible gives a beautiful promise. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So what is the way a child should go? Set family rules and expectations. Ask for your children's input when setting rewards for positive behavior and consequences for negative behavior. Teach them why you are establishing these guidelines, then be consistent in carrying them out. Your children are watching you all the time. The way you live your life will be the most powerful lesson you will ever teach them. Be a good role model. Show them how you would like them to behave by behaving that way yourself. I remember the quote from St. Francis of Assisi when he says, "Preach often, and when necessary, use words." Number four, let your children solve their own problems. Don't be a helicopter parent. For example, help your children learn and grow by teaching them how to make good decisions. When the consequences are small, give your children the chance to choose for themselves. It can be difficult to allow your children to take the reins, but let them learn from experience. Resist the urge to help and let your children make their own mistakes. Then you can lovingly help them learn from their mistakes. Ask them questions that help them come to their own conclusions about what choice they should make. For example, if they want to watch a movie that doesn't meet your family standards, you might ask questions like, "What do you think about that movie? But do you think it's restrict? Why do you think it's restricted for kids? When your child makes a wrong choice, be consistent with your family's consequences. But turn it into a teaching moment. Help your children identify what happened, analyze what contributed to the outcome, and discuss what he or she could do better next time. Number five, show love to your children no matter what. One of the most instructive parenting stories in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son. A young adult son refused his father's advice, broke the commandments, and lost his entire inheritance through his poor decisions. His father had taught his son, raised him in faith, and then let him make his own decisions and face his own consequences. But in the end, when his child returned to him, the father welcomed him with love and open arms. And as you remember the story of the prodigal son, you can find that story in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. This story shows the unending love a parent has for a child, like the unending love your Father in heaven has for you. Here are a few ways you can show your love for your children. Let your kids know they matter to you and to their Heavenly Father. Reinforce the good decisions your children make. Commend their hard work. Praise their strengths and encourage them in the areas in which they aren't as strong yet. Help them learn that as children of God, their potential is infinite. Make sure your family comes first. Though many things can get in the way, make sure your children's needs are always a priority. Jesus set a great example when he said in Matthew 19:14, quote, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Even the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, knew the importance of ministering to little children, even when others wanted to turn them away. Be accessible to our children is very, very important. So why is the family so important? Well, families are central to God's plan. God made it pretty clear that families are important when he created Adam and Eve. In the Holy Bible, we hear the words, as he referred to Adam and Eve, quote, man and wife, Genesis 2:25. And the first commandment God gave them was to have children, Genesis 1:28. So what is the purpose of a family? Families are central to God's plan for his children. They are the fundamental building block of strong societies. Families are where we can feel love and learn how to love others. Life is tough, and we need people we can lean on. Home is a safe haven where we can get love, advice, and support. In 1995, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints released an official statement about the importance of families, entitled The Family, A Proclamation to the World. That document outlines responsibilities of fathers and mothers and addresses key topics such as marriage, gender, parenting, and sex. I will provide a link for that in the Facebook post of this message. I find it very intriguing that this was given in 1995, 26 years ago. And even more important today, as almost then, is some of the counsel that can be found in this inspired document, The Family, A Proclamation to the World. I recommend that you read it, and if you've read it before, reread it again and ponder and pray about the message that's there. God is our Heavenly Father. Our family here on earth is organized like our family in heaven. Much like we can go to our parents for advice, our Heavenly Father is always there to give us help. When we pray, He listens and He answers. In Matthew 21:22, we read, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." God loves us so much. He loves us even when we make mistakes. And He invites us with always open arms to return to Him. We glimpse our Heavenly Father's perfect love for us and the profound love many parents have for their children. We can all experience Heavenly Father's love as we grow closer to Him, and we can share that love with our families. Have you ever thought about the relationship of a family and whether that continues on after we leave this mortal experience? Well, I would like to testify to you that I know that a family can be forever. Families are a big part of God's plan for our happiness. We are born into a family. We aspire to build strong family relationships. Home can be a place where we feel support, safety, and love. God does not want family ties to end when we die. Because of temples, also known as the house of the Lord, we can be reunited with our families in the next life. When Latter-day Saints get married, they understand that marriage is meant to last forever. Marriage ceremonies in the temple contain the words, "for time and all eternity," not the words, quote, "till death do you part." But it isn't the words that make eternal marriage possible. It is the power of God. God's power to join together, as found in the Bible, Jesus gave the apostles, through Peter, that sealing power, or sealing keys. That power meant that marriage and many other wonderful blessings could last forever. The keys lock the marriage together. Nothing can break that lock except unfaithfulness to spouse or to God. The Bible teaches in Matthew 18:18, quote, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be found in heaven." These were the words spoken by the Savior Himself to His apostle Peter. Think about that for a moment. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Through much research and many conversations with leaders of many different faiths, I have asked the question frequently, in your faith, what ordinance do you have the authority to bind in heaven as well as on earth? And interestingly enough, I have discovered that not a single faith leader that I've asked that question of has asserted that they have any authority to bind anything in heaven. That power resides solely and exclusively amongst those who have been ordained and given the sealing authority through the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by a prophet of God. When God restored His church through the prophet Joseph Smith, He also gave him that sealing power. When couples are married in a temple, the person performing the ceremony has been given permission to use that power. Now, many have asked, why do Latter-day Saints spend so much time doing genealogy and family history work? Well, the blessing of a forever family isn't just for us today. What about our great-great-great-great-grandmother or grandfather, who was never sealed to her husband and children? Thankfully, God thinks eternal families are so important that He provided a way to make sure everyone can be united with their loved ones forever. Latter-day Saints research their ancestors and keep careful records of who has been sealed. When they find people who have not been sealed, they go to the temple and do a stand-in ceremony or serve as a proxy on behalf of that ancestor. That ancestor has their agency and therefore can choose to accept the sealing or not. The sealing power is like a chain that links family generations together. The proclamation to the world, the family, we are reminded the family is ordained of God, that marriage between man and woman is essential to his eternal plan. Children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and to be reared by a father and a mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Disability, death, or other circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. Extended families should lend support when needed. I find it sobering that in the final portion of the proclamation, a prophet of God, along with the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "We warn that individuals who violate covenants of chastity, who abuse spouse or offspring, or who fail to fulfill family responsibilities will one day stand accountable before God. Further, we warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. We call upon responsible citizens and officers of government everywhere to promote those measures designed to maintain and strengthen the family as the fundamental unit of society. I testify to you that I know these words to be true, and that the family is the key to all of our happiness when founded upon the rock of faith in Jesus Christ. And I testify of these things in the holy and sacred name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.